Ladies and gentlemen, third hour of the War Room is on and in studio is the one and only Rex Jones. I feel like your bio is getting shorter. Geopolitical news enthusiast, dog lover, supplement guru, co-host of Gray Area Talks at Rex Jones News with a Z.
That's right.
A short and sweet. That's all you need. 50%off.com is where you can go to get fantastic supplements.
Check out Go Primal Core too. But hey, I'm really about the InfoWars sales this month. I've taken advantage of a lot of the great deals available at the alexjonesstore.com, and I'm not here to plug my own stuff. I'm just grateful that you invited me on. It's always a fun time to be on the show with you, and we got the new pre-workout.
The pre-workout, the ultimate power, energy, and focus. Unleash your potential, the alexjonesstore.com. But you're not here to talk about supplements, although we could get into that.
We can do it later.
Let's stick with geopolitics for now. So we have breaking video. I thought this was a much bigger deal before I read the headline. DOJ releases shocking fake video of Jeffrey Epstein's suicide as part of file dump. So let's go ahead and watch this video. It's apparently about 10 seconds long.
This is what the people wanted to see.
This is so weird.
This is what the people wanted.
At first you think, you see the shot and you're like, oh my God, they released the footage of his... But no, it's a reenactment that they did, I guess.
They made an Xbox 360 game, and I'm forgetting what it was called. It was about the movie Happy Feet. Are you familiar with Happy Feet, where the penguin, it surfs and whatnot, or it dances maybe, or no, surfs up, one of the two. All right, I don't exactly remember. This is about the graphic quality of that. And why would you release or even do such a thing? Like, this is so stupid.
This is very weird.
Like, this just makes people mad, because they're like, well, he killed himself, and here's the video game scene of him doing it. Here's the cut scene. So I guess, I don't know. It's beyond anything.
This is weird. So the DOJ on Monday released shocking footage that appeared to be a recreation of Jeffrey Epstein's suicide in his Manhattan jail cell, and it briefly set the internet on fire until it was revealed to be fake. The video was posted without explanation to the Justice Department's website as part of the Epstein file dump. And that's just the latest in a trove of documents. The grainy 12-second computer-generated clip, so it is graphics, shows a white-haired man in an orange jumpsuit struggling and jerking his head about while kneeling at the base of the jail cell bunk bed. I gotta say, it doesn't look like you can kill yourself like this.
Well, let's not forget, he broke his neck in three places, right?
Right.
Isn't that what the autopsy said? And you can easily do that on, like, the bottom bunk, I guess, by jumping off.
I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, everyone wants to talk about the Epstein files and what may or may not come out, and everyone's fascinated by that. But let's not forget that they killed this guy, and they've said that it's a suicide, and both parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, they're both pushing this narrative, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just kind of inconvenient, right? It's like Charlie Kirk, he's a man of steel, a bullet got stuck in his neck. And, you know, I hear normal people parrot those things all the time in public. And I was like, well, okay, the psychological operation is working.
There's a reason Epstein didn't kill himself, broke containment,
right,
and became a meme recognized by normies.
A rally cry for people for years.
Yeah.
Really, yeah.
And frankly, I'm not even convinced that he ever killed himself.
Oh, you think he's on an island somewhere?
Yeah, yeah. I think he's doing fine. I mean, there's that video of the guy.
Him.
Yeah, it seemed to be him. But this is very weird, because it's like, okay, why would they release this without context? If it was supposed to make you think, oh, yeah, this is possible, it looks impossible. It looks like a guy on his knees, wiggling around.
We all know it's impossible. We all know it's impossible. It's just another white rabbit that they released to make people interested in something for another day. It's just a part of the news cycle. You know, you were watching the Trump breaking broadcast with Hegseth, right? Where he announces the battleship, it's 100 times bigger and powerful than anything we've had before, or something like that. I was waiting with bated breath for the, like, not Oval Office address, but that speech he was going to give. When was that? At 7:30 Central, our time, right? When was that? Last week?
Yeah, yeah.
I was waiting for that to happen all day. I was prepped for that. I was like, okay, like, this is, like, we're going to figure out what's going on. Are we going into Venezuela? Are we not going into Venezuela? And I watch a thing, and it's literally the same speech he did at the RNC during the election, right, where he just kind of did that two-hour thing and talked about the runways being the best, most beautiful runways we've ever seen before. And I was like, man, like, you gotta make a decision here.
Yeah.
Even if we disagree with it or whatever, if you have the fleet parked off the coast and it costs $1 billion a day to keep it there, like, come on, man, let's see some action, let's roll some dice. I'm not for it, I'm against it, but that's life. Thanks for having me on the show, Harrison.
Of course, we'll be right back.
challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
Peeling back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, this is the video that we got released here. People are already manipulating it with AI. Welcome back, folks. The third hour of the War Room is on this Monday afternoon broadcast. 2 days before Christmas. In studio with me is the one and only Rex Jones. You can follow him on X at Rex Jones News with a Z. News with a Z.
And if you want to, you can check out my show, Gray Area Talks. We got a small YouTube and Rumble channel, and we do live streams from my profile every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. We're going to do everyday shows, some solo shows with me as well. But me and my co-host, we get into a lot of real good interviews and topics, and we really enjoyed having you on.
Yeah,
and
super
your
fun.
Co-host as well, Lebanon John. We were talking about that during the break, right?
Yeah.
You've been quoting that a little bit, haven't you?
Yeah, well, because he talked about in Lebanon, the Sunnis basically will never try to take over because they'll get massacred. And so he had this, when he was on Gray Area Talks, he had this story where, you know, he talked about this Sunni guy in Lebanon. And they say, are you going to have a caliphate in Lebanon? And he starts looking over his shoulders going, no, I never said that. I would never want that. And it's like, and John's like, so you can live with these people. You just got to keep them in their place.
Right.
You just got to let them know if you try to take over, it's going to be bad for you.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, that's just the way it is. Sorry. Like, when you have these ideologies that are expansionist, that are all about taking over, it's like, we can coexist with you. We got to have some very strict boundaries. And if you exceed them, we got to be ruthless in crushing it. So I thought that was a very unique perspective on
right.
how to deal with the rise of radical Islam.
Well, I didn't realize how small of a population Australia had, right? I didn't realize it was 23 million people, which is like less than the Ukraine is now, like after like all the war and all the people leaving and whatnot. And it's that massive, giant territory. And they're having a lot of immigration, kind of like us.
Yeah.
Being pushed heavily towards that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I want to get into Australia because it ties it all in together. But just before you came on, I was talking about what's going on in Israel, and that basically everybody is agreeing that Netanyahu is coming to the U.S. to, as the Times of Israel puts it, quote, present Trump with a new Iran attack plans during his U.S. visit.
Oh, it's time for round two. Are we all excited for that?
What I'm round is it? Round it. Two? What round are we on
now?
Round
like 18.
Yeah, I guess
like golf.
Exactly. So yeah, we're doing it again. And now they've learned that the threat of weapons of mass destruction, the threat of nuclear attack, doesn't quite sell it like it used to. So now they're trying to sell it on the ballistic missiles, but that's not really a threat to the American people. So I don't really
know. The ballistic missiles are a threat to our Navy. That's how I see it with this talk of the big battleship and whatnot. Like they really. The U.S. government didn't like it when the Yemenis, when the Houthis hit the or tried to hit the boat with the missile and the F-16 or whatever it was went overboard.
Yeah,
we were not a big fan of that, right?
Yeah, they hardly talked about that, but that was.
I see it. Well, we just don't want to have anyone with any relevance militarily in that region at all. So we won't tolerate a militarized Iran in any way.
But. That's probably the case. But how do they? But like, what do they think they're gonna? Do like how they think they're going to get America into a shooting match with Iran? Like that's not going to happen anytime soon.
The thing
soon.
You got to realize about Iran: Iran has 92 million people. Iran lost, I think it's between like 1.5 million and 4 million people during their fight against Saddam Hussein.
right,
with Iraq, and we were backing Saddam back then, of course. So we're talking about a place for like an invasion to actually work. There's no way the IDF could go in there and take over the country. You would need U.S. ground forces and ground troops to be involved. That would be the only way it could ever go down. And right. I don't think, you know, for all his faults, and I criticize Trump a lot, and I get called like a black pillar, a doomer, or whatever. I don't think Trump wants to have ground war in a place.
I don't think he does either.
And I think it really is, and people say this is a cop-out or whatever, I really do think it is the bad people in like appointed leadership positions that are they're pushing him to do some of this stuff. And I'm just like, man, like why are we still listening to like the NATO people when they're begging for the wars, right? Why are we still listening to Zelensky? Why are we still doing this?
And just to connect it to something like Australia, where you have them going, we need hate speech laws, we need hate speech laws. And then the Bondi attack happens and they go, oh, see, we need hate speech laws. It's like you're just – this is just the latest excuse that you're applying because you wanted this anyway. So it's like the same thing with Iran. It's like, oh no, now we'll, cause it's this other thing that's a big threat. That's why you 100%. Have to go to war. And it's like, okay, you just want us to go to war. We get, you're just testing excuses.
And if we're always at war and we're always like, I compared it on my show yesterday to like, you know, we always have to fight the kaiju monster that's out there in the water.
Yeah.
Like we have to marshal the resources of the entire nation, not to feed the people or educate the people or house the people or anything like that. We couldn't do that. We have to tax them even more so we can build this big robot to fight this imaginary problem.
Right.
And I see more and more in that. And, you know, like there are real problems. There are real problems with Islamic terrorism. There are real problems with, you know, making sure that we preserve our influence in the world to some extent and like dealing with China and whatnot. I understand that stuff. But when we're meddling in these areas, we have no reason to be, really, in my opinion. I know we probably disagree with that. I know me and my dad disagree on that, especially with Venezuela. And I hear Monroe Doctrine. I understand the logic. I can understand it's a rational argument. But at the same time, why are we doing this, man?
Right.
Like, why are we doing this? And it's the same thing as he goes out there and he talks about the battleships. It's like, we have to prove we're tough. We have to prove we're strong. Everyone will respect true peace through strength instead of strength through peace. And I think he's trying to get strength through peace right now. I don't know if that makes sense, but just think about it a little bit. And the way that he moves and the way that he behaves, we all voted for him because we do believe he's an anti-war person.
Yeah.
Right. And like I still hold that belief, and I think that you do too.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's been borne out. And I remember, you know, after he bombed Iran, I had a bunch of people going, "Oh, you said he wouldn't do
right.
that," but I always said it goes like this. Israel has plans for Greater Israel Project. To achieve Greater right. Israel Project, they have to destroy Iran. To destroy Iran, they have to have American boots on the ground. That's the only option they have. So they have to get American boots on the ground. So to me, it was like Donald Trump is willing to do a lot for Israel. I don't believe he's willing to put American boots on the ground. That's the one thing that Israel needs. That he will not give that to them.
I mean, it's so ridiculous. He goes to like the gala or whatever. I think it's actually in Israel or New York, same place basically. Like who cares at the end of the day, right? And he's like, Miriam, come up here. I want you to stand up. And he's like, if someone can give you $250 million, that's a very important person. And I look at that and then I just go – it's not even a discussion anymore. Like they own our politics in that region. And like to say that is not anti-Semitic or is not accusatory. It's not even saying it in a negative connotation. Like they control our interests there. They are our government there, essentially. Right.
Well, and
that's not controversial.
And here too, you know, here also to a large degree. I mean, it shouldn't be controversial. And really it's not. And as you're pointing out, it's like, they're the ones saying it. So, you know, we're supposed to just, like, ignore it. It's absurd. I mean, when Donald Trump is the one saying, like, oh, Miriam Adelson gets what she wants, it's like, okay, why? Like, her interests are completely divergent from mine. But this is where, you know, the real methods of persuasion come into play. Let's go to clip number 26 here. This is John Kiriakou. Of course,
love him. Phenomenal guest.
Very, yes. Really awesome dude. I've loved everything I've ever seen him in. He's an ex-CIA guy, but he doesn't strike me as
he was the whistleblower for the torture.
He was the whistleblower guy, and he actually spent time in jail. So now you've got these other, you know, so-called CIA guys doing podcast rounds, and a lot of them glow, right? A lot of them are spooks still.
I think they're bad,
I think they're playing a role of like, oh, I just sent. There's the guy with the fuzzy hair, you know who I'm talking about? And he actually, there's a clip of him and John Kiriakou like arguing with each other, and you can tell, you know, the other guy, his role is to get people to not question the military industrial complex too much. John Kiriakou, however, tells it like it is. Here's him talking about rumors, but I'll show you why these rumors are valid. Clip 26, here's John Kiriakou about why Trump was pressured into bombing Iran.
The reason, though, I'm told, that Donald Trump decided to bomb Iran was that the Israelis said for the first time, if you don't bomb Iran to take out these deep bunkers, we're going to use nuclear weapons. And they had never threatened that before. And so Trump said, bombing Iran might actually save us from the start of World War III if it keeps the Israelis from using nuclear weapons.
So according to your source, the Israelis told the president of the United States that if he did not use the United States military power to bomb the nuclear facilities in Iran, Israel, acting on its own, would use nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
Do you see why there's a problem with that statement, John?
Yeah.
Because they've never admitted that they've had them.
That's right.
So you're telling me that they just admitted to the president of the United States that they have nuclear weapons and we still do not have them in the IAEA treaty.
I mean, if Israeli nuclear whistleblowers are to be believed, yeah, they've had them. They started working on them in the 50s. They got them around the late 60s or the early 70s. Look at Mordechai Vanunu. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't charged for treason for nothing.
That's a guy who they hit in Rome with the honeypot?
Yeah.
Yeah, 86.
All right, so Israel's nuclear arsenal is like the biggest open secret, like the worst kept
secret
in the world.
Maybe we have it, maybe we don't. That's basically what they say, but it's known that they have it.
They've had it for 70 years, and they have the Samson option, which people don't even understand the Samson option. They think it's just like a bunch of missiles in Israel. No, it's submarines. They have submarines parked around the coasts of America and Europe, and if anything happens to Israel—
All the capitals.
They have instruction to nuke all the capitals of Europe. Like so it's not like you can just like— bomb Israel and the Samson option's over. You have to go through and systematically take out all their submarines. It's an impossible task. So that was John Kiriakou saying that Israel threatened to nuke Iran, basically telling Trump, you either bomb Iran or we're going to nuke them. Now, he just says his source says that. But the thing is, this wouldn't be the first time that they've used that exact threat. Let's go now to clip number 38. This is infamous U.S. spy who was pardoned by Donald Trump flew home to Israel on Miriam Adelson's
was
jet.
Was met by Netanyahu on the tarmac after he kissed the ground.
Where he kissed the ground of Israel. One of the most damaging spies ever in American history. Here's him talking about how Israel routinely threatens America with unleashing nuclear weapons in order to get America to help them. Let's watch.
Admit this. We are now feeding our enemy. I mean, this has never happened in history before, and you have to ask why. And I don't want to hear this business that it's consistent with Jewish morality. It isn't. Anybody saying that doesn't know anything about Jewish morality at all. Oh, let me bring you back to October 1973, during the Yom Kippur War, when Henry Kissinger instituted an arms embargo against us. And what happened? What happened was, an A-4 Skyhawk was parked at Tel North Air Base with some interesting weapons under its wings. And we told the Americans, take your eye in the sky and take a good look at the airplane that's on that runway. And the next day, the airlift started to Israel, the arms airlift.
So in other words, we threatened their...
We threatened to use unconventional weapons. I'll leave it at that. And so he said, is this what you want us to threaten now? I said, absolutely, except this time I want us to go forward with it if necessary. If they think we're bluffing, we go forward with it. Look, as far as I'm concerned, when we are faced with an existential threat, we have the right to use any and all weapons in our disposal to eliminate that existential threat. A lot of people don't know anything about nuclear weapons at all. What they are, how they can be used. And I'm tired of using euphemisms. I'm tired of saying, well, we have something, you know, in the basement, but we won't be the first to introduce nuclear weapons in the Middle East. It's enough already.
Yeah, enough already. That's wow. Exactly what I was thinking, ironically enough. Enough already.
Well, that's our friend, right? That's America's buddy. And I had seen that clip before. And when the first clip played of John Kiriakou, I was talking to Harrison. I was like, I have something for this. And he was like, wait, I'm going to play the Jonathan Pollard stuff. And I was like, that's exactly where I was going. So this country that is our greatest ally that we send billions and billions of dollars to, they're like, hey, look at our runway right now, because they're losing the Yom Kippur War really bad. And then they got the nukes parked and they're ready to launch. And then we acquiesce and submit to that. So to say that is not anti-Semitic or crazy. Like, that's just reality. And if you say that in Australia, because they've adopted the IAEA definition of anti-Semitism, which is any criticism of Israel is therefore a hate crime, right? You would not be allowed to criticize this man who spent nearly like 30 years in prison, right, for being one of the worst espionage agents of all time, right? So we as Americans, and I think about this a lot when broadcasting, we actually have the freedom to say what we want when we discuss these things. But if you think about a place like the UK or Australia, they don't have the ability to criticize it at all, right? And that mass shooting event that happened was horrible. But that doesn't mean you get to rewrite the laws of what human beings are allowed to do, right?
Well, you know, it goes into the overall, as Netanyahu puts it, eighth front war.
Right.
Now, a lot of people, and you know, the eighth front is America, basically. It's the American information space, but really it's the worldwide information space. The eighth front war is Earth, right? The eighth front is Earth itself, and it's the mental world of the Earth. They want to take it over and control it completely. And I got a couple videos about that in and of itself. Lindsey Graham saying from Tel Aviv that – he claims that Iran is, threatening to attack us. Huckabee is saying we have to, you know, feed young people information about Israel directly.
Right.
I mean, it's all part of the same agenda. So let's go to clip number 20 first. This is Lindsey Graham in Tel Aviv, his home constituency.
Why are they always over there?
Always,
maybe, hold on really quick. Maybe they should do the House and the Senate in Israel. Maybe like it would save money, right?
Because
they're
money,
always visiting
save time.
Over there, and they should just their families can live over there.
Be
too.
More honest. I think we should do it.
I agree, but let's play.
Then we can be asleep while they're awake, and we never have to hear from them again. Wouldn't that be something? Here's Lindsey Graham.
Iran, they're up to no good. We obliterated the Iranian nuclear facilities. We did not obliterate Iran's desire to have a nuclear weapon. The regime hadn't changed at all. They still want to kill all the Jews, consider America the great Satan, and purify Islam. Are they regenerating their nuclear capability? Are they building more ballistic missiles that could hurt Europe and Israel? I don't know, but there's evidence that suggests they are. I would recommend, if there's credible evidence that Iran is going back into the enrichment business at other sites, that they're trying to build more ballistic missiles to terrorize Israel and maybe Europe, that we hit them before they can do that. The one thing I've learned about radical Islam, the only language it understands is force. So I am hopeful we can put Hamas on a time clock. The trend lines in Lebanon are, quite frankly, optimistic. The Lebanese government has decided to call for Hezbollah to disarm. If Hezbollah gave up their heavy weapons, that would be a godsend for Lebanon and the region. If Hezbollah refuses to give up their heavy weapons, down the road we should engage in military operations working with Lebanon, Israel, and the United States, where we fly with Israel, like we did with Iran, to take Hezbollah out. Once you take Hamas and Hezbollah off the table, two proxies of Iran, the likelihood of a Saudi-Israel deal goes up dramatically. I think Lebanon would be a good candidate to expand the Abraham Accords once Hezbollah is dealt with. So Hezbollah either voluntarily gives up their heavy weapons, or we have to come up with a military campaign to achieve that goal.
Don't you love that they don't even try to relate it to American interests anymore?
Right.
They're just like, Hezbollah has heavy weapons, which is a threat to Israel. And it's like, okay, and?
I like the professionalism of being like, I'm already on to the next war. I'm already on to equation number 20 here on the test of like filling out the test of being an evil globalist psychopath and committing wars, right? He's like, you know what? It's not enough to be in Ukraine. It's not enough to visit Zelensky. It's not enough to visit Tel Aviv all the time. I need both Syria and Lebanon to fall. The fault lines are showing up. I'm excited.
I got another video of him saying that you're...
Let's watch more. He's so crazy. That's a important guy. That's Trump's golfing buddy. He's a member of the ruling class. That's a super elite.
And he's
that
just,
guy.
And he's just like, we have to take out Iran, and we have to take out Lebanon, and we have to take out Syria. And it's just like, are you even pretending this is for America?
See, he commands us, though. He, and he's in charge.
It must happen. And it's just like, okay, Hezbollah is Shia.
Right.
Saudi Arabia is Sunni. The Saudi
Iran is Shia. And that's the thing. And they always say state sponsor of terrorism. They don't like Iran because Iran funds the Sunni or the Shia military groups that fight against the Sunni ones that we create and fund, the Wahhabis, the Salafi, and the others, right?
100%.
So, like, once you understand that, it's all a very simple calculation. But the American public, and this is the problem, this is why media like this is good, like, educating people is so important because the vast majority of people, they could name Gorlock, but they couldn't name al-Shara or al-Julani, and they just wouldn't have that connection, right? And we live in a low-propensity environment where the people are designed to be dumbed down and stupid, right?
And, you know, the reality is, look at Syria. They call Bashar al-Assad a radical, you know, Muslim extremist. He gets replaced by an ISIS guy who starts ethnically cleansing Syria and, like, causing all this, all this
a guy
chaos
we created,
and death.
A guy we had in jail for 10 years, and he comes out speaking perfect English, wearing a suit. Yep. It's just perfect. But see, we all have to believe in the lie as long as it means American strength.
But this is the thing. It is a deliberate and direct inversion of the truth, because in Lebanon in particular, the Sunnis are trying to take it over. They are the radicals. So there was a couple of years ago a thing where, you know, they always have three of their, you know, main most important political positions. One's a Sunni, one's a Shia, one's a Christian.
Right.
Well, a few years ago, the Sunni guy who's from Saudi Arabia, the fact that he's Sunni means he's taking direction directly from the imams in Saudi Arabia. He went to Saudi Arabia and they, like, kidnapped him to try to get him to declare a caliphate and start a civil war in Lebanon, and he refused to do it. So Hezbollah is Shia. They actually are probably the only reason ISIS didn't take over Syria 10 years ago. If Hezbollah gets taken out, that's the biggest barrier to a Sunni takeover of Lebanon. If you want Lebanon in the hands of Muslim extremists, take out Hezbollah.
Right, and I've heard Douglas McGregor, Colonel Douglas McGregor, say this. I've heard Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson say this. I've heard Larry Johnson, who was in the CIA, say this. We don't want any secular governments in that region, and that's our policy. So if you have a government like Lebanon, however imperfect that it is, where you have Christians, Muslims, and then the other Muslims working together in kind of an equal balance, we look at that and we go, we can't exploit or break these people up easily. We have to go in there and make sure they don't have any weapons.
Yep.
Right? Because even if a state exists like that and it's totally peaceful, just it not being under the control of the empire is enough for the empire to want it. It doesn't even have to do anything to the empire. And that's why ultimately we fight these wars not out of necessity, but out of greed, out of wanting other people's space and stuff.
Well,
look at Ukraine. Look at the march of NATO, just getting further.
Well, and when it comes to the Middle East, it's just, you know, clearly for the sake of Israel, Israel wants to take over South Lebanon. They want to do to Lebanon what they did to Gaza, and Hezbollah is the thing that stops them from doing that. So we're trying to take that roadblock away. And of course, the heights of absurdity when you go, what has Hezbollah ever done to us? They killed our Marines in the 80s. But Hezbollah didn't even exist then. It didn't start till several years later. So you can't even say that, really. And that also wasn't a terrorist attack that was on a military installation of foreign occupiers.
Well, they're against our greatest ally. You see,
they're against
the
our greatest ally.
Not be questioned.
But that's the thing. Like, even at least with Iran, you can go, oh, they chant, you know, death to America and have nukes. It's like, all right, that's a pretty potent combination. Hezbollah, they can't hurt us. They can't, you know, attack America with their weapons. The threat is entirely to Israel. It has nothing to do with us. So it's just absurd that they would even make that case. We'll be back on the other side. We're going to do a quick commercial break. Then we're going to hit what's going on in Australia. But I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com today. It's your last day to take advantage of the Christmas 60% off mega sale.
Thealexjonesstore.com.
Yeah. Get yourself a little something. You deserve it. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot do this without you. You're the reason we're here. You're our sponsor. You are what keeps us on air. And we are launching today through the 23rd of December, the final days of Christmas sale at theolivestore.com. 60% off on our best-selling ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss gummies, and Shilajit gummies, and more. If you haven't tried our ultramethylene blue that is the strongest, best out there that we found, bar none, you're crazy. What it does for your mitochondria, your energy, your stamina, with no letdown, is insane. It's so good for you. Just research the studies. We have medical grade. We have the best. And you've seen all our guests and others that come in here, and they're just blown away by it, including those who are already taking methylene blue. They're like, wow, this is way stronger, way better. It's amazing. I'm challenging all of you. I'm challenging everybody to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds. We are in the red. I met with accountants this morning. Not too bad, but we're there. And we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and get 50% off on all future orders in perpetuity until you decide to cancel. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition, over 700 designs at thealexjonesstore.com. So my challenge to all of you is this. Get a bottle of ultramethylene blue for 60% off right now, and then you're going to be blown away and reorder it. You've heard all the people call in with their testimonials. This is the real deal. The best salesmen sell the best products. I promote and sell freedom. I promote and sell stopping the globalists. You know my information is the most accurate out there. Why on earth would you think that I would tell you this will change your life? The Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, ultimate life force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox. All these are kick-butt products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Please do your Christmas shopping there. We need your support. It's a win-win for everybody. You keep this operation. It's a true thorn on the side of the globalists on the air. And separately, the classic nitric boost. Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, I didn't know she knew about it. She bought it. So this is the best formula for your heart and for spike protein and for everything else. And men notice it the morning when they wake up. It is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com exclusively. InfoWarsStore.com Nitric Boost. All of you need these products. Take action now.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're
welcome
as
back,
charming
ladies and gentlemen.
As an eel, Mr. Grinch.
Rex Jones in studio with me. We'll move on from Israel. We'll move to Australia. Really, it's all part of the same story overall. But there was this last one, and it's just you almost can't write this stuff. Benjamin Netanyahu reportedly says the October 7th inquiry must probe Oslo Accords, Gaza disengagement, judicial overhaul opponents. So Netanyahu has blocked an independent investigation into October 7th.
Of course.
That I'm sure would have, you know, determined if there was a stand down order, that type of stuff. He says, no, you can't investigate October 7th, 2023.
unless you also examine the 1993 Oslo Accords. What are you talking about?
It's a complete, I won't use the expletive, but it's a crap screen. It starts with an S. I like to use that expression. And when you look at it, look, I'm a big fan of the Alex Jones Show. I watch most of them. And I caught the episode months back with Ivan Ranklin talking about this. And he goes, look, like, I understand the situation. I know where their bases are there. If I was involved in that situation, like, we would have metal going out of the helicopter. Like, we would be shooting people within 10 minutes, right? To talk about the country that has the most surveilled border on Earth and, like, some of the most advanced military capabilities on Earth. And it's like, oh, well, for 8 hours or however long it was, people on paragliders just came to a music festival and mowed people down. And the only people you have actually resisting or fighting back are off-duty or retired, like IDF or military police people who live in the area. And those are the people that get murdered in the – what's the – it's not the Samson option. It's the other one. The Hannibal
directive. It's the Hannibal directive,
where
yeah.
they kill their own people if necessary. If they got to do it to get rid of the enemy.
Look,
right?
They were warned.
A hostage to them is very, very bad. Right?
Yeah.
Because they'll do anything to save a hostage because it's one of their people, right? So they just kill them instead.
And they just kill them instead. Yes, exactly. They knew about October 7th a year beforehand. They knew about it in the weeks running up to it. They'd been warned from various international, you know, places. They have a stand on order for 7 hours in a state the size of New Jersey. And then they do the Hannibal directive and murder a bunch of their own people. Then they lie about everything, about 40 beheaded babies in ovens and all this ridiculous stuff. I mean, the whole thing's a crock of crap. But we can't investigate it unless we also investigate a diplomatic agreement from 30 years
ago. I'm tired of the thing where we go, the worst thing in the world happened. And then therefore, because of the worst thing in the world happened, that gives the victims of the event the right to do literally whatever they want in the world without impunity, without question, without regret. I mean, small scale sample, look at what happened to us, right? That would be a great example. And I won't even get into that further because they have so much power, right?
Right.
But like that is the truth. When you have a good enough narrative, we'll put it that way, when you have a good enough narrative, nothing can really stand against it, because on a baseline, primal, kind of like low IQ level, people will go, this seems like the right thing to be empathetic with, therefore I support it and I'll give it credence to do whatever it wants. You can talk about the event, you can talk about 1,000 people plus die, and go, that's horrible. Like October 7th, very bad. But these things happening, they don't just happen in a vacuum. It happens so the state could have more political and military control, and so BB could stay in office, and he's been under investigation for years predating this, right?
Yep.
So when you look at the correlation of forces, as the Russians would say, it's like a very clear picture of what's going on here.
Yeah, and no, you're exactly right. And of course, that goes into things like the IHRA, you know, definition of anti-Semitism that they're, you know, imposing on governments around the world, because that is the one that basically says, because the Holocaust happened, any criticism of Israel.
Well, criticism of the government is anti-Semitic. You're not allowed to criticize Israel. And, you know,
or any Jewish person or any Jewish group.
Well, that's interesting to me, because the contradiction in the law, let's just ignore the concept of free speech because they don't believe in that anyway. But these countries, these democracies or whatever, these liberal democracies, they do claim to stand on the racial equity or you know, just like the DEI stuff, right? They want to protect people's rights and let people have equality, whatever that means. But essentially with this, I assume a Jewish person would still be able to criticize the state of Israel, right? Because they have stake in it or they live there. But an ordinary citizen, a goyim perhaps, would not have the same rights as that person. So I would say, subtracting the free speech stuff from it entirely, that's racist. Yeah. It's a racist law. And therefore, if you claim to be one of these like pride flag waving like European or oceanic states like Australia or New Zealand, you can't adopt this law because you're in violation of, however messed up they are, your own values. Right. Yeah. So it's hypocritical on that level. And it goes to show that like that's what's in charge.
Yeah. And that doesn't seem to bother them very much.
Right.
They're not exactly, you know, scared away by the hypocrisy. In fact, they're diving headlong into it. And in fact, the hypocrisy abounds, right? Not only is it hypocritical, as you point out, to
have the government runs on it.
The government runs on it. But then on top of that, you've got the people of Australia booing the crap out of their prime minister. So it's like even the excuses that they make that, oh, this is a democracy. It's like, well, most of the people are against what you're doing, but you're doing it anyway. I mean, the whole thing is absurd. I got so many videos. Like, it is crazy what's happening in Australia right now. Let's just start with clip number 31 here. This is the Australia police chief announcing a crackdown on hate speech following the attack on Bondi Beach. Now, again, they have had a problem in Australia with white people not wanting to be eradicated from the face of the earth. It's a real issue for them as they are systematically trying to do just that. You've got white people saying, hey, we don't like this. We don't like being replaced in our own homeland. We don't like being subject to endless, completely legal and illegal immigration that's swamping us. Now, if the white people in Australia had been listened to that were saying that, then the immigrant that killed all the people wouldn't have ever gotten here. But instead of actually giving credence to what the white anti-immigrationist people are saying, those are the people that are being attacked. Again, it's just
and the reason why it's important absurd. To say that is because if you say that in Australia, you get arrested. Right. And,
that's true, and
people go, that's mean. That's not a nice thing to say. You're saying mean things that upset me. Well, we're allowed to say those things here because we have the First Amendment. These people don't. So we're speaking out on their behalf for them as people that are being replaced and are being attacked right by their own government. And we want to push COVID away. We want to look at that time period and just kind of ignore it. The Australian people, I mean, the videos that I saw that came out of Australia during COVID with the literal forced injection of children as like the mothers being taken away in like an emergency room.
Dead camps, like, dead COVID camps. They sent people to camps.
Beyond anything. Like, and here's the thing. If we have our military, and I made this point on the show before, if we have our military around Venezuela and around the Middle East and in Ukraine and all this, why can't we surround Britain? Why can't we surround Australia? Why can't we demand that they adhere to Western values? Because that's what's important, right? We can't have Muhammad in the mud hut be bad with the AK, but Keir Starmer can throw 18,000 people a year into prison for social media posts. Like, right. And this is the real argument. And this is like the MAGA wins, the new wars, the XYZ. Let's put these people in their place, right? Seriously, they cannot be acting like this. They are as bad or worse than the Chinese.
Literally. Yeah.
And they have the temerity to go like, we're the most moral people in the world. And like, this is what they say in Brussels. This is what they say on Down Street, Down Syndrome Street in London. I'm tired of it, man. These people are clowns.
They absolutely are. And of course, it's the people in charge. It's not the people actually, you know, in these countries.
Of course. I don't mean to insult anyone in these countries. In fact, like you're a victim of the state. Like you're literally living in 1984. The book is bad. It's not you.
It's like if America believed the things America says, we would actually be running guns to Ireland and
we would be protecting our allies by protecting the people, but instead we protect the government. And that's what it is.
100%. Right? Let's go to clip 31 here. This is Australia's chief of police.
Listen to this.
Essentially, the National Security Investigations teams are a flying squad of hate disruptors who focus on high harm, high impact, politically motivated violence, communal violence, and hate crimes that don't meet the threshold for terrorism investigations, but that we know drive fear and division. This is all about stopping hate and division earlier and well before it leads to violence. So far, this crack squad has charged 14 individuals across 13 investigations, and of those, 4 individuals across 4 operations were charged for offences relating to anti-Semitism. The announcement today to boost the numbers of our hate disruptors, as well as planned changes to lower the threshold for hate speech, will make it easier for the AFP to take action quicker. It could be the difference between us just knocking on a door to warn an individual to an individual being placed in handcuffs.
Translation. If you criticise the government, we will arrest you. If you want to protect your country, we will arrest you. If you step outside the approved narrative, we will arrest you. This is Australia, and it is rapidly becoming the United Kingdom, where 30 to 40 people a day are arrested for speech, for praying. Not criminals, not violent offenders, ordinary citizens. A Western democracy now worse than Russia when it comes to free expression. This is not normal. This is not safety. This is control. Australia, wake up. Because if we stay silent now, this will be remembered as the darkest moments in our history. God bless Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. It's insane. I mean,
let's throw her in prison. How about that? Let's put her in jail. Wouldn't that be nice? Let's put the lunch lady who wants to take everyone's rights away in prison for following an unlawful order. It's against human rights at the end of the day. It's against the UN Charter. The UN Charter states that free speech is a human right.
Or here's an idea. If an immigrant commits a crime, how about you punish the immigrant community, not the anti-immigrant community?
No, they should be given more rifles. They should be given more rifles. You know, it's like a revive in a video game. You wake up in the hospital, you're like, we got to get you prepped for the next mission.
You know, they are actually, they have carve outs in Australian law where the only people who will be allowed to have guns will be Jewish groups.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Good. That's how it should be everywhere, right?
Right.
Right. And like, if you don't agree with that, that's against the new definition of anti-Semitism.
That's right. If you're against anti-Semitism
it's
laws,
all a circle.
That makes you an anti-Semite. It's actually perfect. If you're against the anti-Semitism laws, it's because you believe the Jews have some sort of plan to use anti-Semitism laws to avoid criticism. Therefore, you are an anti-Semite.
The only allowed position is support. And that's the hallmark of an authoritarian or totalitarian regime, right? Like, you couldn't tell Hitler that, hey, I don't want to be a Nazi. I'm just a German guy. No, you got to be a Nazi. You got to agree with our definition of the world and our rules. And it's the same exact thing here. And I mean, it's the typical thing of doing what was done to you.
Yeah.
Right? And like, we just see this very clearly. And you look at people like this, it's like, I don't know. It's like a dog living in like a pen its whole life and never running around or seeing the grass, or a cow, I guess, would be a better example, how the European population gets treated, right? Because like, they don't even know what they're missing. They have no idea. They live in an atmosphere where to criticize the government, to criticize anyone really, except for people that look like themselves, is an offense that could land you years in jail. You could lose everything beyond even your reputation, you know, having that be destroyed in the community. Imagine a community of people shunning you and not like doing business with you, or family members leaving you just because you said something against the government online. That's the kind of culture they've been able to build.
Yeah.
Right. And if we 100%. Don't stand against that, we're going to fall for the same thing.
And let's go to some more of these videos. Let's go to clip number 32 here. This is Australia's Home Affairs Minister vowing to draft new laws that fit the past behavior of the National Socialist Network. So again, not the people that committed the massacre, but the people that are against the people that committed a massacre. Just crazy. Let's watch.
And finally, on listing prohibited hate organisations. I've spoken before about my disgust for a very long time at organisations like Hizb ut-Tahrir and the National Socialist Network, otherwise known as the neo-Nazis. These organisations, for a long time, have been able to take hate right to the threshold without using the words violence and escape any further terrorist listing. We will be establishing a new form of listing for those who do not meet the terrorist organisations of being able to prescribe organisations. I'm asking my department, as the drafting is done, to check it against previous behaviour of Hizb ut-Tahrir and the National Socialist Network. Their behaviour needs to be unacceptable. Their behaviour needs to be unlawful. Their behaviour needs to be enough that we can prescribe the organisation and prohibit their activity in Australia.
So there you go. Very Nazi-like behavior, actually. They're saying, like, yeah, just because they don't actually commit crimes, just because they don't actually commit terrorism, doesn't mean we shouldn't treat them like they do.
It's thought crime, you see. And they might do something bad, so we're going to do something about it now. And ultimately, here's how this works, right? You have a moderate population that just wants to be left alone, just wants to have civil rights, and you have this Revenge of the Nerds scenario where these people take power and they implement their authoritarian project. But these people are so weak and so inept that inevitably when the true strongman leader comes that'll truly lead the society in a real authoritarian and bad direction, that guy will take over so easily from them and will have the support of the people because of all the abuse that they endured. And that's how you end up with the one-man government. And that's just the future that I see. And people talk about it and they go, like, why are you against these things? You're just against these governments and against the way that they function. And just like, this is the brave new world that we're all going to live in. That is also the problem. But I don't want to live in Mad Max. And that's where all of this leads to eventually, is a Mad Max scenario, because people are just going to say, and Fuentes makes this point beautifully, they're going to say, I'm done voting. I don't care. Take my rights away. I just want to see these people, this ruling establishment that wasted what we had, like, in the ground, metaphysically speaking, right? Like, that's the argument that I would make, and that's why it's so sick, and that's why that adage, and adages are stupid sometimes and can be annoying, but the weak men making hard times, that is who these governments are.
Well, 100%. And of course, there is just always the irony of using Nazism as an excuse to be Nazis.
And then they're the Nazis. Yeah,
and people are always, oh, the left is the real Nazis. It's like cliche, but like, no.
Right.
See, America, there was no word Holocaust. There was no word about the death camps when we went to war with Hitler. We went to war against Hitler because he had a totalitarian regime that was anathema to the freedom and liberties that had been won over 1,000 years by Western Europe. And we saw that, you know, system being destroyed completely. now it's being destroyed again in the name of anti-Nazism. So, you know, I always point out, you get these stories of people like wearing a swastika armband and they're like attacked and assaulted and their clothes are ripped off. And it's like people are like, yeah, they deserve it. And it's like they're literally treated worse than a Jew in Nazi
Germany.
Well, that's
the social experiment of the state religion. That's what that is. You're showing on camera. You're showing that like you'll lash out and attack that thing and break the law by doing so. You're not allowed to hurt people, even if they are doing speech or symbolism that's offensive to you.
Well, actually,
you'll do it for the state,
right? But usually, the people who get attacked then end up getting arrested because if they fight back, they go, "Well, you know, you deserved
right.
it."
Right? So that's like that guy that got stabbed and they said the N-word after.
They indicted
him. Yeah. I mean, look,
but for the swastika, it's like even crazier because it's like. The reason you're supposed to think the swastika is evil is because it represents this totalitarian, right. this lack of, you know, it's like the type of place where somebody gets beaten up for having a different set of view, you know, a different point of view. So it's like, okay, now you are doing the thing that the swastika represents because you hate the swastika. It's inverted.
Even more than that, these people, they're just not that smart. They're really not that smart.
And that's
the thing is like, is the collective population in the West so bonehead stupid that we can't like elect or like be civilly disobedient and get these people out? Like seriously, especially these European countries, these people, like, I don't understand how 75% of all wars can ever be fought in this one area. And then you just submit to the government. I guess you're used to having the kings and queens, but like just do something about it, obviously in a correct and moral way, but do something about what's being done to you. Right.
Well, this is the issue with, well, the parliamentary system for one thing, the control of information right. from the other. I mean, the European people have been trying to get out from under this. I mean, hell, maybe this is a good time to go to clip 34. And I've got four more videos.
Is that the farmers dumping the excrement?
No, although they are still at war with the EU right now. I've got the Australian Prime Minister saying they're going to stamp out anti-Semitism in the country. I've got the Premier of New South Wales saying we don't have the same freedom of speech laws they have in the U.S. The Victorian Premier will push legislation for stronger hate speech laws. So as they push this in every level of the government from every angle, even though it is literally an inversion of what actually happened, where the people who slaughtered 16 innocent people on Bondi Beach are being rewarded as their enemies are ruthlessly shut down. And all of this is done under the excuse of democracy. Meanwhile, this is an amazing video, clip 34. This is Australian Prime Minister Albanese being heckled and booed as he makes his way to a memorial for Bondi Beach. This is what the Australian people think. Let's watch. So he's walking up to this event and you can hear people sort of on the edge screaming, and you can kind of see that security is handling people, and then come the boos. Then come the boos. So this phenomenon is recreated in every Western country. When Keir Starmer goes out on the streets of the UK, he is booed and hissed at and despised. When the leader of Canada tries to do public appearances, he is cursed at and mocked and vilified. It's like every Western country is supposedly ruled by democracy. These are our democratic leaders, and yet every one of them is despised by the people that they're ruling over. It's because it's not democracy.
They got a guy with the yarmulke on in this shot that says Rabbi on Demand. Like a little
Rabbi
like
on
a,
Demand.
Like a poker sponsorship.
Well, this
patch.
Is, I mean, well, this is
no,
the.
No, I know. I found it to be interesting. And like, I imagine you show up, you're in charge, you're the government. You're like, it's my job to rule over these people and tell them what's what. And they're actually protesting and yelling at you and booing you and calling you out. I mean, like, he wasn't expecting this, you know, because in his mind, he's so stupid, he doesn't realize he's done anything wrong. And this is what I say about these people being morons, is they're not smart. And it's like people have a British accent and then Americans will ascribe like an extra 10 IQ points to them, or just however if they talk right, basically yeah. they're articulate. It's the same way just with lay people and then the political class. And you look at these people, they're the same, if not worse than you. Like they're lawyers, right? They're attorneys.
They're the worst.
Exactly.
They are the worst. Hey, speaking of the worst, we actually just got this clip where you have to go to it quick so we can see the whole thing. Trump has made a statement on Epstein that is a is a little weird. Like everything from Trump from the last year, it's a little bizarre. Let's watch.
Were you surprised by the number of photos of Bill Clinton in the Epstein files? And you can you commit to their
by
full?
What?
And were you surprised by the number of photos of Bill Clinton in the Epstein files? And can you commit to their full release by the end of the year? Some of the victims were protesting that too many of them were redacted.
I know there are a lot of people that are angry about all of the pictures of other people, you know, but I think it's terrible. Look, I don't like I like Bill Clinton. I've always gotten along with Bill Clinton. I've been nice to him. He's been nice to me. We've always gotten along. Respect him. I hate to see photos come out of him, but this is what the Democrats, mostly Democrats, and a couple of bad Republicans are asking for. So they're giving their photos of me, too. Everybody was friendly with this guy, either friendly or not friendly, but they, you know, he was around. He was all over Palm Beach and other places. The head of Harvard was his best friend, Larry Summers. And Bill Clinton was a friend of his, but everybody was. I actually threw him out of Mar-a-Lago. And as a, you know, as a person that was in Mar-a-Lago, I threw him out. Mar-a-Lago, this is Mar-a-Lago. It's the hottest place in, I think it's the hottest place in the world, but it's the hottest place in Florida. And everybody would come here. He'd come here. We actually threw him out. But no, I don't like the pictures of Bill Clinton being shown. I don't like the pictures of other people being shown. I think it's a terrible thing. I think
Bill Clinton's the executive branch,
a big boy.
The
he can handle
branch.
It. But
I think that President Trump was, you know, they were shocked and surprised that he battled his way through and that the assassination attempt failed and that he made it back to being president. And I think the men in the dark suits, as Putin describes, I think they came in and said, look, we will let you be the head of the new Republican project. We will allow this. You have full signage from us to do this, and you can remake the party in your own image. But in exchange, it's a big club and we can't have you destroying it all completely. And what he's talking about there, everyone being friends, everyone was friends. Everyone knew this guy. But the government now wants to tell us that he didn't exist after the current government campaigned on releasing this information. That's my thesis on Trump. This is what I talk about. I know I disagree with other people here, but that's just how I see it is, hey, he's told you get to do some good things, you get to implement your agenda, but there are things that we don't touch, Harrison. There are things that you don't scratch the wall. It might be bad if you do that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, again, just there's got to be a reason why he switched so much. I mean, we showed the clip from 2015 of Donald Trump being asked about Jeffrey Epstein in 2015, right before anybody knew about it.
The 2015 Donald Trump, if a photo of Bill Clinton getting head in a hot tub came out, he would be LOLing all over it. He'd be posting it all over the internet. Now it's the group, man.
That's the weird part. Is it's like, yeah, why wouldn't he be like, yeah, Bill Clinton's a sleazeball. He was doing creepy stuff. He's like, well, I don't like these pictures of Bill Clinton being shown. Bill Clinton was actually Jeffrey Epstein's best friend. They try to make Donald Trump sound like literally Bill Clinton was like his guy.
We loved to hang out together. It was so fun.
Literally the victims would be asked. They wouldn't be asked, did Bill Clinton do this? They would say, next to Jeffrey Epstein, who should we talk to about this operation? And apropos of nothing, they would say Bill Clinton.
Right.
Bill Clinton was the guy. Multiple of them. And I've heard, you know, the person who witnessed it, one of the victims that was on with me with Alex Stein, say Bill Clinton introduced Jeffrey Epstein to her as the, quote, king of America. So it's like,
hey, I believe it, man. I believe it. And they came for the king and they didn't miss. They killed him and they say he killed himself. And that's what you're supposed to believe. You don't get Epstein list, you get a battleship. That's what we wanted. Right, Harrison? Thank you for being
Rex
here.
Jones News with a Z on X.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. bodybuilders take is it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.